Welcome back to the Dr. K Show. Now we're getting ready to go to our new guest, but I still don't have a winner. Who was that man in Hurlock riding through the various communities with his horse and wagon selling vegetables, but was known to everybody for his meatless greens? He always talked about he had his meatless greens today. Who was that person? Okay, the number is 410-228-9236. Give us a call and win you 2 scratch-off lottery tickets. Now, our second guest today is Donald Mann, right?
Yes.
And Donald, I want you to tell, let me give everybody your topic. How political slogans influence the vote. How political slogans influence the vote. Now, first, Mr. Mann, I want you to tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Okay, hi. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for asking me. And my background includes that from the Vietnam era, I had a draft number of 12, became an Air Force officer, then ended up working in science and research and working in the various industries, and then ended up moving to the Delaware area, working in chemical industry and then finance. And I actually started to write the book, Okay, God, Now What?, was the answer to the question, how did I turn around a plant that was failing, and in 6 years turned that same business into a $500 million business and changed the culture of the company.
Wow, you live close to me. You need to come on over.
I'll be glad to.
Oh, so you're in Delaware, right?
Yes.
Okay. People, he's right close by. And can you, in a few seconds, tell us how you did that?
Well, the way that I did that was, when I first got the job assignment, I was feeling really good. I walked into my boss's office. He called me in there, and I went in happy and came out absolutely numb. And as I came out of the doorway, another vice president met me in the hallway, and he said, better men than you have tried to turn that plant around, and they failed. So long, it's been nice knowing you.
Oh, my gosh.
Not only was the job impossible, there went my family life, because this was halfway across the country. Uh-huh. In St. Louis, and I'm going to have to be on the road a lot of times.
Oh, my.
It looked like a promotion. You know, I was fired of the president of my own division. I was given complete hire and fire authority. But what good did that do? This was a technical problem, and the only scientists and engineers on the planet who knew anything about it were the same ones locked into. Now listen to these words. Fear, anger, denial, and fault-finding.
That sounds defeatist.
Yes, they were in real trouble, and they didn't like me on top of all that.
God.
So the only way out for them was really to get them out of fear, to face the facts, to move into creativity, and own the problem to fix it. And so what I knew, first of all, I couldn't do was to put them into any more fear. And fear is contagious.
Yeah.
People respond to it. They see it. It comes out in subtle ways. It can be overt ways, like yelling fire in a theater, but it's subtle the way you act. People pick up on fear right away. So I knew the first key for me was to keep myself out of fear. And this was an impossible situation. It drove me to my knees. And so I decided I had to go to God and get the answers for this, because without his help, there wasn't any help I could have. You know, there wasn't any greater source of strength or power available to me.
Yeah.
I didn't need just good ideas. I didn't need philosophies. What I needed was the real deal.
The real deal.
Okay, and so that's when I started diving into the scriptures and developed, in the course of time, a developed program for myself on how to keep myself out of fear and in hope, and then transfer that to those scientists and engineers to break them out of it. Well, you know what? We did it. In 6 years, we went from loss to $500 million, and the corporation was, the whole group there was changed and still successful.
All right. Now, what made you think of political slogans?
Well, the reason about political slogans is that if you look at advertising programs, and the greatest advertising program in the world right now is the American presidential campaigns. And they pull in the highest and the most well-paid and the best of the marketing gurus from Madison Avenue, from colleges and universities, to orchestrate and put their messages together to manipulate your mind to get you to do what they want you to do on election day, which is to vote. But the biggest thing is that in a political campaign, 95% of the messaging is negative. Only 5% of it is positive, unlike a commercial advertisement, which is usually all positive, and the negative things are sort of subtle. In a political campaign, it's 95% negative, because they found out that negative campaigns win, positive campaigns don't.
Wow.
And so the result of that is that you're bombarded with continual messages. It doesn't really matter which side of the fence you're on. You're going to be bombarded with messages all the time about all the negatives, all the dire things that could happen. And your savior is the person that they want you to vote for.
Right.
And in that position, your self-identity becomes attacked. And their goal is, and they're very calculated, to trigger fear responses inside of you so you become just like those same scientist engineers I had to work with. You get locked into fear, anger, denial, fault-finding, accusation, and victimization.
Hmm.
Well, because you need it, you can't do it, you need that savior to do it for you. And that's the essence of the political program and campaign, particularly the way that it's run today. And that's what got me interested in being aware. When I started to see what was happening, of course, I had to do the exact opposite of most of my life. I've been known as a corporate turnaround guy, go into failed positions. And what I did that's unique from any others is that most people go into a situation, they bring in their people, change the management, and then run the company differently with their team. I didn't have that option. I was always working in high technology and science, where the only people on the planet who knew about it were the ones working there, and I had to change and move them.
Right.
Okay, and so I learned how to do that, and part of that was how to develop in them and call them up to their self-identity. You know, self-identity is one of those things that most people don't think about, but it's who you are, not what you are. You know, you're not a soccer mom who picks kids up. You're not a grandmother. You know, who are you on the inside when all the other things you do aren't there? And so that the real question is who are you? You know, back when I was 16 years old, it was my car. I was my car. My car was good, was wonderful. It was all me. I kept it clean. And school was great because it allowed me to drive my car.
Oh.
Not only that, the bad thing about school was it kept me from my car while I was in classroom and not out there with my car. But, you know, car was my power tool. It got me girls. It could get me a job. It could get me freedom. I was my car. That was my self-identity. And if you want to look at someone who really didn't understand the power of self-identity, particularly the one that God offers us in Jesus Christ, is poor Whitney Houston.
Oh,
you know, she's I've discovered that the secret to life is your self-identity, because your self-identity will control what attitudes, emotions, what ideas you allow to percolate through your life. The ones you'll attract and the ones that you'll stay away from. It determines what kind of choices you make and what attitudes you tolerate and you seek after. If you look at beautiful Whitney Houston, you know, the gorgeous singer committed suicide in the bathtub. What more could a young woman want out of life? She was a top singer, a movie star, making millions of dollars a year. She had cars, houses, adoration of millions. But who did she marry? Someone that would beat her up.
Right.
She was into drugs and in and out of rehab. She was in and out of church. But she never found the identity God had made for her. So at the end of the day, what you are is meaningless. How much money you have is meaningless. The key is who you are. Are you a victim looking to be victimized, or is your self-identity found in God of the universe with the power to overcome and bless anything and everyone through you? That's the purpose of the identity we're made for, and that's the strength and blessing right from God. And that's the core message of the New Testament. And the core message in Okay, God, Now What? Is to show you not what. There are a lot of books out there who show you what you need, but show you how to develop that kind of identity that God went so much effort to get for us.
Right. That's the hard part. That's the part that you really need to work on, the how.
Is the how part of it. And so that's what got me, of course, the whole process here. Let me tell you a story about a young fellow named Anton, who lives in the Bahamas, as a matter of fact. You know, let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt like there was no way out and everything was hopeless? Well, in my book, Okay, God, Now What?, you'll discover a new dimension of potential for your growth, a perspective that will move you beyond what you thought possible as you become aware of the power of belief plus truth equals results. Anton is a young man in the Bahamas, and he lives on an island not far from Nassau. He was a recent graduate in a computer science program, but came from a poor family. He had been raised in church, but there was a problem. He had never seen God anywhere. Heard about him, but never seen him. Broke and living with his sister, he did not know what to do, and he had developed quite a chip on his shoulder at anything or anyone that offered advice. He fought them and put a wall right up right away. He was tough to be around. His sister sat him down one night after dinner. She'd had enough. And gave him a copy of Okay, God, Now What? And said, just read it.
Just read it.
He started reading and could not stop. He got excited at the truth in the teaching in section 1 and in the power of the Christ affirmations in section 2. Belief plus truth started to work for him. as he read the affirmations, particularly affirmation 35 on page 250, he started to understand what the scripture in Deuteronomy 8:18 says. God gives you power to get wealth.
Right.
He started to understand that it included the desire for education, integrity, and solving people's real problems by providing real value they would pay for. Soon his business opportunities came his way. He was helping others and getting paid for it. He thought that was really great. His freelance computer business had taken off, and he now has several employees. His church life has also taken off, and he's seeing answers to prayers that are beyond his imagination. And he's teaching others how to do the same. His new identity in Christ has become the foundation of a life that looks destined for greatness and love. He's a young man, but he's having a lot of fun that he never thought was possible. And guess what? He finally has seen God move in his life.
Wow.
So that's the story of Anton. Can I tell you another story?
Well, we have 45 seconds.
Okay. The next story that I'll tell you about very quickly is a fellow who came back from Iraq, couldn't put things together, had been a minister in his church for years, saw the power of what Okay God Now What talked about, and ended up using that to transform his life in every way possible. So that's the power of what's in Okay God Now What. It's based on the science of how the brain works and the truth God has always had for us, but we've never known how to really apply it and make it work.
All right. Well, I want us to talk more about that book when we come back from our break, because I still have to relate it to politics just a little bit for people whose ears are perked up for that. But I like what you're saying, and God seems to be the answer to a lot of our questions. You're listening to the Dr. K Show here on Radio 1240 WCEM AM. Welcome back to the Dr. K Show. This segment's guest is Mr. Donald Mann, and he's talking to us about, well, many things, including how political slogans influence the vote. So we're going to take a step or two backwards, because we need to be reminded that candidates use slogans to impart fear in us that the other candidate would hurt us and get us in their arena. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. The way that it works is that the primary messaging technique, they will give some good slogans. You know, there's Mr. Obama has forward and Mr. Romney has believe in America. Both of those are good statements and positive aspirational type statements, but the bulk of the messaging is negative. And what they're doing in the negative messaging is, this is a persuasion process to get you to do what they want you to on election day. And so what they're going to do is they're two things. First, they're going to try to build fear in you over time. Of course, this process has been going on for the last year or so. But more importantly, they're going to trigger the fears you already have. And they're going to find words and phrases that trigger those fears. And they really don't care how true those fears are or how true the words are saying. They just want to trigger the emotion, because when you get into fear, your brain shuts down and you no longer think critically, you no longer think rationally, you think only with the emotion of fear. And you operate in a mild level of panic. And if they can keep you in that way, you can't hear anything else. And the only resistance to that kind of thing is how strong an identity you have. Your personal identity. What advertisers have found is that if you have a strong self-identity, then you'll be resistant to a lot of the messaging and branding and be able to make rational choices based on true value and true goodness, as opposed to operating by various emotions. So in the political process, they're going to leverage you into fear, and the problem is it attacks your personal self-identity of who and what you are. It tries to redefine you and who you are. And so the way to build a strong identity, of course, is to look for who you are. Not just what you are, but who you really are, and see who your mission in life is. Now, the greatest mission given to us in the world is to be an agent of Jesus Christ for bringing better into the world. That's the identity, the self-identity God has given us in the New Testament. There's nothing stronger than that. There's no religion, there's no philosophy that has anything greater. There are other ideas running around out there, but none is greater than that. And so what I discovered back when I was trying to fix that company was that as I learned the program I put for myself at first, started to build my self-identity in Christ, and it wasn't very efficient. So what I ended up doing is I started to write, okay, God, now what? I made the program far more efficient and focused, so it's in the fastest way possible to build your self-identity and who God made you to be through the work of Jesus, what it means, and how to make the Bible alive. Not what to become, but how to do it, the process that works.
I like the slogan that an evangelist that I listen to on the that I see on TV in the mornings before I come here, he keeps saying, vote the Bible, vote the Bible. And I said, that's what we're going to have to do, vote the Bible. We know who we are. We can see through that fear-provoking message. We can see the underlying cause. We can see the good, the bad, the evil, the trickery. And that I've learned that this year. Even before that, when I listen to a candidate, I always I try not to listen too much to what people are saying immediately after any of the debates. I have to go into myself and I have to analyze according to me and my mind, and I think I can come up with some pretty good stuff. And that's where it is. It's like I ask God, you know. Does he really mean this, or does he really mean that? That's a good thing.
Yes, that's absolutely wonderful to do. One of the things that I have made available, the website for the book is called OKGodNowWhat.com.
OKGodNowWhat.com.
And if you go to the website, you'll see that you can get right away for free is a list of top 10 affirmations that you can use to protect yourself and to grow from, particularly in this political campaign. So they're for free. You just go ahead to OKGodNowWhat.com, click on the button on there, and get your top 10 affirmations and be able to get them. The 10th caller or the 10th responder to that from this show, I'll actually send you a free copy of the book.
Oh, my goodness. It'll be me.
Okay, so we have in the book, we have it's available at a lot of different places, Amazon and any place fine books are sold. We have a special offer on the website for a bundle package that's the best value of anybody out there, so you can get that also. But the important thing is to understand that the process for writing truth on your heart is different than the normal standard educational process, which deals with a cognitive mind. Writing on your heart takes time and repetition. And that's what I discovered way back when. It's also what, for example, I was talking about James, the guy who came back from Iraq, and he was struggling. You know, he'd come back. He'd been an excellent soldier, had all kinds of medals and awards, but when he got back into civilian life, he was into sales. It wasn't working. He wasn't responding to his wife. They weren't communicating. His family was in turmoil, and he didn't know what to do. He was really at his wit's end, and of course, he started getting angry when that happens, and there were a lot of fights and strife in the house. And when I showed him the okay, God, now what affirmations, he looked at him and he says, my God, this is all scripture. And I said, yep, this God's had this for us all along. We just never not known how to apply it. So he started doing the affirmations, and over time, first thing that started to happen for him was that his sales started to increase. And then he started acting differently at home, and peace started to come into the house. And he's now, his Christian ministry has been revitalized. He's now doing all kinds of things around the world. But he especially saw the power in the small portion from Affirmation E, where the affirmation says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone be born again in Christ, he is a new creature, one born of God in the Spirit. And he started to see that, how he could expect God to help him on a basis, and he wasn't alone anymore. Here's what he said about himself that just really floored me when he said it. He said, before, whatever was happening to me, I was like a piece of paper being driven by the wind. One minute I was in the bushes, next minute I was up against the wall, the next minute I was flying across the road, I was up against the fence. Anything that happened, I was just being blown around. As I started to do the affirmations, something started to happen. Really, I could feel it inside my gut. I started to become solid, even though around me was like confusion. I was like a flag attached to a flagpole. I was fluttering, but I wasn't moving anywhere. And my confidence in God had grown immeasurably. And so that's what he described, the process that, for him, how it worked. I have another lady who is Patty, who is in Bristol, Virginia, lives in Bristol, Virginia, who had been, you know, as a grandmother. Her husband of 70 years just recently died. But she was looking around her family. Her children had married, I can't wrong, or not good. I don't know about wrong, but she had all kinds of mixed family relationships, confusion in terms of even who was whose children, all kinds of stuff going on with her kids, and she had felt like that what had gone wrong with her, and she discovered as she started to read, Okay, God, Now What, that she had made a lot of assumptions about life, a lot of best guesses, but they weren't matching the truth that God describes in the Scriptures.
Okay,
and so it's...
Up. Our time is up. This is awesome. Everybody, you've got to go to the website. You've got to get this because it sounds like it really helps you. I'm sorry, and thank you for being on my show. We can talk afterwards. Everybody, have a great day. You're listening to the Dr. K Show here on Radio 1240 WCEM AM.